welcome this beautiful day to Candlewood Community Church. I'd like, Phil, if you'd get started with the offering, a couple announcements. First, we'll do some personnel. This will be the last Sunday we get to see Marilyn for a while, so she's going back to the cold Midwest. I guess it's no, oh no, going to Texas. Texas, okay. You're smarter than I thought. And we have some guests here, Jim and Becky Ulmer, who we met when we first started attending what was Trinity and then became Oakwood many years ago, and they were right early from the beginning, so they're good friends of Steve and Shelley. So, but their son and kids still live here, so they're visiting his first grandchild, who just was born last week. His, not your first grandchild, but his first child that is your, yeah. And I noticed we have some refugees from Tennessee. I guess it got too cold for them. So, yeah. I said we have some refugees from Tennessee. It must have gotten too cold for you. Come down here.
Good.
A couple other announcements. Systematic Theology tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Gibbons home. The women's Bible study is Tuesday at Florence's house at 10:30. We've got that. If you've been following the news, Asbury University, where Beth and our kids went, is having Peterson's went is having a revival. Started a week ago Wednesday, is going 24 hours of time of prayer. We've talked to people, friends who've attended, said it's just a time of peace and a time of tranquility and joy, and they've had students from over 20 other colleges, and they've got people just from all over the world. Beth said there was a flight of students from South Korea flying. We just pray for that. God sometimes has outpourings like this, and sometimes they have lasting impact. And so just pray, and the university has to deal with the logistics. And think of that. They've got a chapel that seats 1,500. At one point, they had 3,000 in it, which is violates fire codes. So now they're limiting that. They've opened up other facilities. They're trying to keep that for students, the high school and college students. But there are a lot of people coming from all over. So just pray, whatever God's doing, that he would continue doing it. And just a personal prayer, Beth's brother, who's 6 months older than I, on Friday had a stroke, but they caught it in time, rushed him to the hospital. In fact, the police shut down all the traffic so they could get there, told the family members, if you follow us, we have to go the speed limit, but if you don't follow us, we can go as fast as we want. So they went, and he's walking, and it was in the right side, the left side of the body was... his face was distorted enough, his phone no longer recognized him, which I think is pretty funny. So we just pray for him. But before I pray, I'm going to read some passages from, a short passage from 1 Timothy. The passage we're going to hear just a little bit, Shelley, after I'm done, after I pray, Shelley will read our passage from Acts. And this is where Paul first mentions Timothy. But he wrote two letters to Timothy. And I'm just read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. As I urged you when I was leaving for Macedonia, stay in Ephesus to instruct certain people not to spread false teachings, nor to occupy themselves with myths and interminable genealogies. Such things promote useless speculations rather than God's redemptive plan that operates by faith. I'm going to go to verse 5. But, this is the verse that I think is important, the aim of our instruction is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Love, but love comes from a pure heart. That means our motives are pure. A good conscience, it means we haven't violated anything that we believe is wrong. We are not living with any guilt or any sense of regret as to what we've done, and a sincere faith, meaning it's a faith that is the deepest commitment we have, and it's not we're not double-minded, or we're not in that faith as a friend of mine said, well, I joined the church because it increased my social standing. It's a sincere faith that comes out of the depth of your being. And as we study this passage together, that's what we are, that's our goal. We study Scripture, not so that we're smarter about Scripture, so that we can love from a pure heart, clear conscience, good conscience, and sincere faith. Let's pray. Father, guide us today as we look at this passage in Acts. And just thank you for all how you've revealed yourself through these words, through Scripture. Father, we pray for our hearts that you can create in us love from a pure heart, good conscience, and sincere faith. Father, we pray for the work you're doing around the world. Particularly, we pray for the revival at Asbury and that it would spread. And pray for the university and the leaders there. They just have wisdom in how to manage the logistics of so many people coming. And Father, just pray for Steve, best brother, and just for continued healing. And thank you for your grace in helping him get help so quickly. We just give this time to you because you alone are worthy of all our prayer and worship and love. In Christ's name, amen. Shelley?
Good morning.
And
it's so good to see Fran and Ann back there. What a shock. Okay, so I'm looking at Acts 16, 1 through 15. The Macedonian vision. Now Paul came to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brothers and sisters who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to leave with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, and they knew that his father was a Greek. Now, while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the ordinances for them to follow, which had been determined by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So the churches were being strengthened in faith and were increasing in number daily. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region and were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. And passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia standing and pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he, Paul, had seen the vision, we immediately sought to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So after setting sail from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were spending some days in the city. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were thinking that there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and began speaking to the woman who had assembled. A woman named Lydia was listening. She was a seller of purple fabrics from the city of Thyatira and a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. Now when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us.
Listen carefully this morning. This is going to be good. We're going to have a greeting time, but that greeting time has to melt into you find your group of two or three people. Yeah. Two or three people. But greeting time first. There's people to meet that are here. There's people who've returned back. Especially notice Fran has grown a beard. And okay, good. You want to give him a kiss and say hi? Yeah, that's right. I couldn't believe it myself. And so we're going to let you do that now for a couple minutes. But when you're done with this time, find yourself in a group of two or three and move the chairs and get comfortable with each other. Let's greet each other. Okay, everybody has found a group. I see them formulating all around me. And when you've found that group, if you could get seated with them, near them, so you could formulate your group, two or three of you in that group, I appreciate you getting there. All right, I see the final groups have been formed. I'm kind of liking it. Okay, I'm glad you've all found your group. The Church of the Mathematically Challenged will now please come to order. Thank you. I appreciate that. You're a professor. How come I can't get them in groups of two or three? Okay, is that what it is? Okay, yeah. That's a good idea. Number off. All right, here we go. Just kidding. It won't matter. Listen, this is part of your greeting time with each other. What we'd like to do, and if you haven't picked up the theme of the day yet, you're going to pick it up real clear right now. Can you think of a time in your life where you would say definitively, God led me? Can you just think with me right now? Don't have to open your mouth, say anything. Can you think of a time in your life where you can say that God definitively led me? In this situation, God definitely led me. I can actually tell you the story as to how God led me. Think right now down those lines. I can think of a time in my life where God definitely led me. Hopefully it's more than one, but why don't you pick out one in your mind, and when you're ready, why don't you share that with the group? Share a time in brief, and all the details, and who was wearing socks. We don't need any of those details. But except Anna Fran from Tennessee, we know nobody was, right? Just kidding. I'm going to stop the Tennessee jokes, I promise. Don't. Okay, good. Listen, so a time that God definitely led me, and then share that in your group. Just a minute worth of sharing. I remember a time God definitively led me in this one area. Go ahead and share that. Okay, listen up. Very interesting to share how each of us get led in different ways at different times. Now, a very risky thing to do, but because we've got a lesson, and if we don't get to it, don't get to it, but I really want to get to it. Because this morning's lesson has a bonus to it. Nobody knows about, unless you looked at my notes, Jerry. Okay. Is there something you heard in your group that was shared about God leading somebody in your group or yourself that you'd like to share with the whole church as by way of encouragement? Mildred, ready? Got a hand up? Let's do it, okay? Listen up, everybody.
Being at a camp and kids asking questions and not knowing the answer, but opening your mouth and words come out, and you're kind of surprised at what you say and what you hear.
That's been a lot of my life. Oh, no. Okay. I said that. Okay. Mildred, I think a lot of us had that experience. I've been in counseling with people pouring their hearts out about horrible stuff, and I've thought to myself, I have no blessed answer for these people. And lo and behold, it came. And I knew it wasn't from me. That's a great illustration. Hopefully you've had that one happen rather frequently. Jim, happens, doesn't it? Don't know where it came from. I know where it came from. All right. Oh, in the back. Ann, come to the podium for the porch people.
So I won't go into the long story because it's a very long story. But for me, especially with what's been going on lately, where things don't seem to be going the way that we expected them to, and we thought we were following the path God had us on, and it's been bumpier than we were hoping, I try to look back, and I can look back literally decades from a work situation that I waited a really long time for change, for God to lead me to the right place that led me to where I am now, and Fran and I are in Tennessee, and all the little and the big parts that God put together to bring us to where we are. So I think, you know, with leading, it's important to look back at the path that you took as well as going forward.
Good words. I like that. Anybody else want to share? I am walking around. Okay, Jim, you want to come to the, this is the table podium, which we have, okay, so people can see each other.
I stand here and I think, what would Phil do? The one I shared with the group was our involvement with InLife in the Czech Republic just happened back in 2004, the start when our the church at the time, Oakwood, was doing English camps, and they said, pray, we need more men, pray about it. And I had no interest, but I, you know, I'm a compliant church member. So I prayed, and I felt God saying, you should go. And so we went, and Beth actually ended up going, and we just fell in love with the people, and it just, over the years, you know, I just saw the potential, and then it morphed from the church to the student ministry, and so we've been, I think, every year since 2004, except maybe 1 year, and sometimes twice a year. So God's leading, and there are two other things that I think are important in my life where it was clearly God's leading. One was marrying Beth. You know, I just said, God, I'm going to be a Protestant monk. I'm not going to pursue women. I'm going to just build friendships with people. If you want me to get married, bring somebody along. And he did. And the secret is we knew within 2 weeks we were going to get married, but we couldn't tell other people because then they think we'd be impulsive, youthful people. And then becoming a psychologist was also God's leading. It was just how he wired me and then the experiences and so I well, that was, well, when did I start that? 19, I started the year we got married. I started my program, but I'd been taking classes. So it was 1981. Yeah.
Appreciate it. We're seeing how this works. Oh, it works individually with you. Nice. That worked out. The math on that worked out. Good thing it didn't, or did. Anybody else want to share? Oof. Oh, hold on. We're going this way. Glenn, you want to stand up so people can see you, or they'll notice you. They'll remember who you are. Hold on. Stand right up here.
Can everybody see me now? I just wanted to share the story that that Steve shared with me, that he had applied to the university for a job as a professor. They turned him down. He went into business of his own, and eventually the contract dried up, and I was wondering where next to go, and prayed, and I think it was that very same day that someone called and told him that there was an opening there at the university. So he became a professor there, and that was 35 years ago, and he saw God's leading in that. You just don't know how God is going to turn around and lead.
Really good. Excellent. Who else? Mr. Art.
I'm going to tell a little bit different leading story that God led me to than I told the group initially. That one got a little dicey with them, so I don't, not with them, but the story was, it was with police work, and I don't want to get into police work. Okay. So I was very fortunate to retire early after 25 years. I was in my late 40s when I retired. And I had another job for a while, but then our son was a senior in high school. I wanted to spend time with him the last year before he went to college, turned out went to the Marine Corps, but kind of the same thing, right? Except a little bit tougher. And so I started doing in-home care with a company for elderly people, like I is now, right? And it's all non-medical care. But then it transitioned, and I looked back, and God truly led me because I loved to help people out, and I got into hospice care. And they really needed people for hospice care because there's much higher level of care needed. And they had a hard time finding people to do it. And we're talking about all the daily things you do in your life to do that. And it was just, for me, such a blessing. Mostly World War II veterans that love to sit there and talk about their experiences in World War II, just kind of to let you know what they went through. Maybe it was cathartic. Cathartic for them to do that, but it was wonderful. The bad part for me was usually after 6 months, they passed away, and you saw them go downhill. I mean, I would first see them, they looked just like Mike here, you know? Well, I mean the good part of Mike. I mean, alive and vibrant and full of, I couldn't resist. But then, you know, they go downhill, so. I'm not being prophetic here, Mike. But anyway, so I think God really led me to that. It really helped me, I think, probably more than I helped them. I couldn't resist, buddy.
You'll never get the mic again. Okay, good. All right. Just kidding. Okay, let's switch gears on that. Art, you saw your shot and you took it. That's what I got to commend you for that, okay? Listen, you're in a group, and here's what I need you to do over the next 30 seconds in that group. You need to find out who the leader of the group is. I need a leader from each group, and it's very important because decisions have to be made. Pick out a leader in your group. Pick out the leader. Pick out the leader. It's not about, just pick out the leader. Okay. It's not even a full moon and this is going on. Okay. All right. Can I have your attention now? Every group has picked out a leader. Can the leaders put their hand in the air? Leaders, put their hand in the air. Okay. Leaders, okay, you can put your hand down. Leaders especially, listen carefully. There's a couple of groups that are really wound up. Listen carefully, leaders. There are three scenes or vignettes in this morning's scripture that we read from Acts chapter 16. Leaders, listen carefully. The first one was Acts 16, 1 to 5, verses 1 to 5. You can see it in the paragraph divisions. The second one is verses 6 to 10, verses 6 to 10. And the third one is 11 to 15. So you've got 1 to 5, 6 to 10, 11 to 15. Got that, leaders? Listen carefully. What you're going to do is you're going to pick one of those out. Oh, did I tell you there was a bonus? I did. If you look a little bit previous to this scripture, the paragraph before, here's the bonus. You can choose to do this or not. Up to you. It's in chapter 15, verses 36 to 41. We didn't cover it in our community groups. We've not covered it this morning, so you're getting hit cold with this. I love it. Chapter 15, verses 36 to 41. It's the fight between Paul and Barnabas. Hard to believe. It's the sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Hold that scripture off to the side. You might be intrigued by this because this is deep end of the pool stuff. Here's what you have to do. Pick out one of these scriptures or the bonus one, up to you. You pick it out with your group. Then you're going to note how, in the situation of the vignette that you read, they were led by the Lord. How was the leading of the Lord demonstrated in the vignette or the scene that you read? And here's the kicker to this as we teach each other this morning. How does that impact me, or what can I learn from their experience that would apply to me today in my experience? Ah, same God that led them is the one who's leading me. How in the world does their experience of being led actually maybe teach me about how I can be led? So you've got the three vignettes from the scripture reading this morning. You've got the bonus vignette of the sharp disagreement of Paul and Barnabas just previous to this. You're going to pick out one of these texts, and you're going to determine what? How they were led by the Lord in their situation. And then you're going to determine how that leading impacts me, teaches me, or challenges me. What can I learn from their experience of being led by the Holy Spirit? And that's what we'll be sharing with each other in just a little while. Okay, so first thing is, pick out your vignette with your group, and then go after and investigate how they were led and what it has to do with me. Go. I appreciate your attention at this time. That's great. Okay, let me entertain myself for just a moment, okay? Seeing as how I've already been pronounced dead on the scene here by my friend, okay? Let me keep talking with the last air that I have. How many groups chose verses 1 to 5 of chapter 16? Anybody choose 1 to 5? My greatest thing is... Oh, you guys did. Okay. Anybody else choose that? No? Okay. 1 to 5? All right, good. Just want to see if we covered things. If we didn't, we didn't. Who covered verses 6 to 10? What group did? You guys did. You guys did. You guys did. That's a popular one. Everybody loves that one, all right? Anybody cover verses 11 to 15? A little bit more difficult working through that, 11 to 15. Nobody, I'm surprised. And did anybody take the bait and do the toughest one? And that's the bonus scripture. Oh, really? Really? I am shocked, as they say in King James. All right. Okay, let's have a little fun. This is about enjoying relationship with each other around the scripture, much like they did in Acts, looking at the scripture and just tickled with what God had been revealing to them. That's what this is, enjoying life on life. For the people who covered Acts 16, 1 to 5, who's that group? There they are. Do you have a spokesperson? You don't have to share if you don't want to. He's not getting it anymore, all right? He's sealed. His wife can have it. He can't have it. Okay, there's a sharp disagreement right now. All right, who's your spokesperson? Is it Art? No. All right, I'm confused. Okay, that was my query. Who's first, okay?
Thank you. We actually, Mike, we kind of blended the bonus section because we thought there were some things from that led to what happened in verses 1 to 5. And I'm probably going to miss some spots here, but we see that God took what could have been a bad situation, a sharp disagreement between men serving him, and he worked it out for good. The sharp disagreement led Paul to select Timothy for ministry and led to a mentoring situation. The sharp disagreement didn't mean that Paul was going to be ineffective in ministry. He was tremendously effective in ministry, even though he had a sharp disagreement. And we also said that we're not always going to agree with everybody that we're serving with. And one of the things that Becky and I have been learning at our particular church in Tampa, or in Richmond, is that unity is much more important than uniformity. We don't all have to do things the same way, but our unity in Christ is what's important.
If you got a pen, you should write that down. You want to say that again? I'm not sure everybody got. Want to say it again? That was a great phrase.
Well, it's not my phrase. It's our pastor's phrase. It's not my phrase. Today it's my phrase, I guess. Unity is much more important than uniformity. And there's a lot of that in Philippians chapter 1. So.
That is solid. Solid. Thank you very much for doing that. All right, anybody else do that first section? This is where we teach each other. This is where we did. Well, then. Oh, hold on.
So we actually did chapter 15, the end of chapter 15 as well. Yes, it was the bonus, yeah. And we looked at the sharp disagreement and so forth there too. And came to some of the same conclusions, which is why I jumped in on that now. But we were contrasting it with the disagreement that precedes that in chapter 15. And there, the people all listened to each other talk, and they were quiet, it says, they were and listened and worked it out, came up with some kind of compromise. And then in this one, the disagreement is called sharp, which we don't think meant, you know, abrasive or whatever. It's just that there was no compromise. You either took them or you didn't, so it was a sharp disagreement. You couldn't come out in the middle of that particular disagreement. So it doesn't mean that it was fractious or whatever. So, so why did God lead them, the Holy Spirit lead them to listen to each other and to work it out in the first one, and then in the second, you know, they didn't. And so the Spirit led differently in those cases. But the reason we thought is that the first argument was theological, and therefore it was important for the church to listen to each other to get that straightened out, because it was a theological issue. This one is an operational issue. And so in that case, you know, they could agree to disagree, they could go on, and the Lord blessed both. And we also said that about Timothy, you know, probably he wouldn't have taken Timothy under his wing if he hadn't, you know, if John Mark had been there and all of that. And Mark became Mark wrote a gospel, and Timothy became very important. So the Lord.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Okay, I'm walking around looking for other folks. I'm looking at the second passage there, verses 6 to 10. Everybody loved that one, all right? Everybody, you see a Macedonian man saying, come over here, come over here. Look over here, come over here. That's how it really went in the Greek, if you look at it. Okay. Oh, here we go. Marilyn's last Sunday with us. I'm going to miss you. Right, Mom? Okay, you want me to hold the mic for you? You want
to hold it? I probably can't hear me, but I think that we thought that it was through the Lord's calling and leading them through that they bypassed the towns, I can't pronounce them, but and went on to Macedonia where he was called and so on. So.
Very good job. Thanks for teaching us, Mom. Appreciate it very much. A lot of love here, so that's pretty cool. Not like me and you now, who've got an issue. All right, just kidding around. Just kidding around. Our sharp disagreement. Okay, here we go. Listen to the porch pirates. I mean, the porch folks talking. Here we go.
So we also did that middle one, and just because we were actually just talking before that with Josh about, following God's path. It's not always clear, and it'd be nice if we heard voices. And we got dreams that told us that clearly what we were supposed to do, but that often isn't the way. And so so our responsibility is to keep moving forward until he closes or opens the doors. And as long as you keep moving, we have a responsibility to do those things, and they were going forward. And we don't know how the Holy Spirit was redirecting them or told them not to go to Asia, but he obviously made it very clear. So you just have to, be in tune with the Holy Spirit to hear those things.
I like that. Great points. You folks, or who's the spokesperson?
Me again.
Oh, okay, here you go.
It's me again, yeah. There's so much meat in that little paragraph that we barely scratched the surface. We were still exploring how God demonstrated his leadership when we found out we had 1 minute left to talk about the most important question. How does that apply to us? How do we take advantage of that? But, one of the things that puzzled us was, the Spirit kept telling them, no, you can't go there, no, you can't go there. But we don't really know how. Was it a unified sense that this is not the right way to go, much like we've had on our elder team here? Where we all kind of get the same idea at the same time, was it that? Or were there physical reasons that stopped him? But God uses different means to direct us, and quite often it is doors that are slammed in our face. That's how we wound up kind of in this home church model, was God slamming doors in our faces as we kept exploring options, and we wound up here, which was where he wanted us in the first place. And so that's sometimes how God leads us. And so for application, we got to thinking about how important it is to recognize those closed doors and be accepting of them, and not so disappointed when we think we have a wonderful plan, we've got this fantastic idea, and God says no. And we go, oh, but this is really important. Those people need Jesus, or this is important because of this or that. And the other things, God says, don't worry about it. I don't want you to do that. You just let me handle my business, and this world is my business. And then to be sensitive and ready to obey when he does call us in another direction and be ready to jump on that. And you notice that Paul didn't wait till after breakfast to start pursuing this. It says immediately, and it happened in the middle of the night, so they got right on it.
Good job. Awesome. Appreciate that. Okay. Stephen, your group did that one? Okay, here you go, buddy.
It's interesting. You look at that passage, and Glenn pointed this out. We see the full Godhead operating in this passage. We see first the Holy Spirit, then we see the Spirit of Jesus, and then at the very end, it talks about God has called us to preach the gospel. You see, so what our takeaway was that we can have confidence that not just the Spirit is leading, but God, the full Trinity, is involved in what God has called us to do, which is pretty powerful to think that. Three guns.
Solid. I like it. Okay, which leaves me one group who did the bonus section. Yeah, how about that? And you guys did? Who wants to go first? Okay, Mildred does. Thanks for taking initiative.
When we talk about the disagreement that they had, a sharp disagreement, we had to look back at what actually led to that, because Paul didn't want to take John Mark because he had left them earlier. But did God lead him to leave earlier, which led to all of this? So we need to be listening.
The other thing that was encouraging to me from that passage is that God can use even our human frailties and our, you know, sometimes very strong opinions that we have a difference with somebody else, and yet God can still use that so that the two teams split up and they went into different directions and the gospel went different places.
Good stuff. Let me get around the corner here. Who's sharing for you guys? James, come on up here.
I just pick up on what Beth said. God leads through supernatural means like dreams, visions, but also just through our gifts, our personalities. Paul and Barnabas were very different personalities. Paul, as you know, was driven and goal-targeted. Before he met Christ, he was going to wipe out the Christians. After he met Christ, he was going to establish them. And John Mark's deserting meant, I can't trust you on this. We've got an important task. You've lost credibility. But we know Barnabas was the encourager. Barnabas was the one who called Paul to Antioch. And Barnabas was not so much, we're going to make this movement happen. It's, we're going to build up the people who are doing the movement. And so you had different personalities, both of which God used. And so for us, I think sometimes we live in fear. We're not following God's will, and we're not hearing his leading. But sometimes he just uses normal human means for leading us through experiences, through passion, through interest, through our training. And so I think we can rest that if we are seeking to glorify God, he knows how to get our attention if he needs to do something different or if we need to do something different. But we can, I think, trust in the freedom that we have in Christ. If we're doing our best to glorify him and be obedient in the context he's given us, we don't have to be worrying, are we following God? And I think a lot of people live in fear that way. And I think God has a lot more respect and trust in us. He's chosen to mediate his gospel through us. And but I remember when I learned that. I also learned when I'm off track, God can really get my attention quick. And I know it. And so I think we can trust him.
No need to leave your hand here. Well, all these other people were talking. Yeah, I always want to hear it.
Well, so, you know, talking about the women, again, Jesus talked to women in a way that was not of the culture of that time. And I think the last verses showed that that was taken note of, that these men went and they engaged with the women and talked to them and led Lydia to Christ. And, you know, Josh commented, if she's selling purple garments, she was probably well-to-do. Those were very desirable and expensive back then. And that, you know, while these days women want to put women in a different position than God has intended, there was no doubt that he valued them where he wanted us to be.
Good observation. I just wanted to share three quick things, which, you know, I can do this in 2 minutes. And it's very simple. I just wanted you to see out of this if you hadn't recognized this. First thing I wanted you to see was very simply in verses 8 and 9 was the fact that Paul was about the calling or business of making disciples. By the way, same thing in orders that Christ gave me, make disciples. That has never been rescinded. That's the order of Christ that the church today is typically not doing, nor caring about doing. No comment other than that. Second thing I wanted you to see was this. It comes from verse 10 in chapter 16. And it talks about the fact that when Paul saw this vision immediately, Luke writes, immediately we left and got about it. And I thought to myself, it's a good time to bow our heads and think about something. Would you bow your head with me? Let's dream for a moment. Close your eyes, just listen carefully. Imagine if the believers in Christ were obedient to Christ and were actively about the business of making disciples. What would the difference be? How about imagine if the believers in Christ were actively seeking to spend their lives for the things of Christ and nothing else? What would the difference be? Imagine if the believers in Christ treated their resources of time and money as a means to make disciples. What would the difference be? Imagine if good churches, solid churches, gave up putting so much time into buildings, decor, and programs to concentrate on developing Christ in each other or making disciples. What would the difference be? You can look up now. That's just for thinking purposes. The last thing I want you to see is this. In verse 15, Lydia, the seller of purple, the lady we presume has money and contacts and etc., you're not going to believe this, comes to Jesus Christ, and in verse 15, I bet you most people didn't see this. And it says this, and after she was baptized and her household is, what? And after she was baptized and her whole household as well? Hold it, church leaders that are sitting here. I can look around and see a whole bunch of you kind of people. Leaders, elders, and deacons sitting here, and teachers. She hadn't been certified yet. She hadn't had a class yet on discipleship. How dare she do that? You giggle a little bit, but that command to make disciples is on everybody, no matter where they are in the maturity cycle with Jesus Christ. Lydia, a newborn babe, apparently goes after it. And her whole household as well gets baptized. She was talking, and people were coming to Christ. That's kind of sweet. You see this a little later with the Philippian jailer as well. And you wonder, how in the world could that happen? They didn't go to 6 weeks of training to do it. Well, the training is being with Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank you for this word this morning. We do thank you for your definitive leading. Father, we thank you. You are the one who does speak to us, that does show us through example, who does show us through situations, and even at times your direct voice and word about where we should be and especially what we should be doing, that ministry of making disciples. So, Father, now I pray in each of our hearts, we drive away from here, that we be driven back to the imperative that you left for us to do, to make disciples where you have placed us. Father, we commit ourselves to you in a new and a fresh way, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now in your group is your closing prayer. Pick one or two people out who will pray, and this is the prayer. That we, as we go about our business this week, would be listening to God, being led by God, and obedient to what he's called us to do. Have somebody in your group pray, and then when you're done praying, we are dismissed.